Okay, good morning. Let's begin this morning with hymn number one. Hymn number one. We'll just work our way through the hymnal. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we consider it a privilege to assemble ourselves with other believers who are like-minded for the purpose of worshiping you in spirit and in truth, in singing, in praying, fellowship with one another, in giving, and in studying the Word, opening it up, understanding it, Father. We pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, to your Son, and the power of the Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's stand and sing Holy, 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 hymn number one. Thank you very much. Appreciate the music getting us in. I got an email from Don Becker. You don't thank Wes for playing anymore. So I want it on record. I thank you for playing. We're very honored to have you, and I do mean that. So, okay, I got several things I want to bring to your attention. First of all, glad to have Kit back. And we'll continue to be in prayer for your sister and daughter. And my goodness, got to be a rough deal to handle. You want to give us any kind of report?
My sister, I didn't get to talk to her a lot about the gospel. I mean, she's had it before, but pray that she'll that will be a time that somebody will really give it. Also for her safety. She considered herself to be in a dangerous situation. I will explain the details.
Okay, that's enough. That's all we need to know.
But she's got so much going on, her safety and salvation.
Okay. All right, we'll definitely be in prayer for Molly in both of those areas. And we won't word it, Lord, keep her alive until she hears the gospel. And after that, all bets off. But we will be in prayer for both her safety and for the gospel hearing. My goodness, absolutely. We have been in prayer for Jerry's Uncle Dale. Well, Uncle Dale went home to be with the Lord. And And Jerry's going to fly home Tuesday, and the service will be Wednesday. So please remember Jerry and remember the family in your prayers as they get ready for Wednesday's promotional service. So let's be in prayer for that. Joe made it to Ghana, and so he's back at it, and just so appreciative of your gift. It just blew him away, and I just love y'all. I love y'all's attitude, and he's doing, I guess, doing okay. We talked to him. Let's see, this week, I think Monday or Tuesday. Anyway, the conference I went to, and Dan and Judith and Pat and I went to, very good. There are at least 50 pastors, I think, were there. Maybe not quite 50, but at least around 50 pastors were there. And all of them are in an understanding of grace through faith. They may not have tied down in regard to being filled with the Spirit yet, but they're in that momentum. And I think some of them do. Some that we talk with certainly do. Some that we talk with are very close, but they're not there yet. And it just amazes me, as I told you when I got back from the pastor's conference earlier this year, it amazes me 2,000 years and we're still fighting the gospel. And that issue came up. But the main momentum was dealing with sanctification by faith, which is how are you going to be sanctified in the Christian life if it isn't by the power of the Spirit? How are you going to access the power of the Spirit? By faith. It never was presented that clearly. And which causes me to wonder sometime. And they're really, I'm not going to say hung up, but they're really oriented they just obedience. And they're not so straightforward as to say the obedience is faith. That the only obedience that we have to do is faith in the Spirit, and then the Spirit takes over. The Spirit does it all. And but the main thing that I would like you to pray for these guys is that they're on the track. They're on the right track. They're in that movement. They're getting there. It, I taught falsehood for many, many years, so they're in the right momentum. And I had the pleasure of meeting some of the guys, and so it was a very worthwhile 3 days conference, and in prayer for some of these guys. It's called the Free Grace Alliance, if you ever want to look it up on the internet, Free Grace Alliance, and it's like I said, I think the main thing I'd want to say is that the men are in the right direction and momentum. I don't think all of them are there to understanding that our obedience, just obedience, just seems to be a big key word among Christians. You got to obey. And it does occur in the scriptures, but like Romans 1, in chapter 1, the first sentence, the obedience that is faith. That's the only obedience he's looking for. If we walk by faith in the Spirit does it all. And so, just be in prayer. It was a good time to be with Dan and Pat. Dan is making it known now. I knew it some time ago, but he's planning on in about maybe 4 years getting out of the ministry and just going into the missionary activities full time, and the Grace Gospel missions, and just do that full time. And so we'll just see how that goes. Yes.
I just want to remind you to tell everybody that Dan's mom died.
Oh yeah, while we were there Monday, we got out Monday night walking out, and his phone rang, and it was the home where he had his mother, and she went home to be with the Lord. She was 99 and a half.
Oh.
99 and 6 months. And can't you hang on for 6 more months? And she went on to be with the Lord. And they had, it's so interesting because Sunday they came up here and he said, what we're going to do is we're going to leave right after church. Well, they decided to go by and see his mom. So they went by and stayed a couple of hours with her. And they were so happy now because of what happened Monday that they did that. And but she's home with the Lord. And what a phenomenal woman. She her whole life story is just a fun, interesting story. But so just be in prayer for Dan. It hurt him a little bit, and as we expect, my goodness. But he certainly knew where she is, knows where she is, and so he still has Pat, and he has his dog. I'll tell you what, I thought I loved dogs. I don't love dogs. I thought I did, but I don't. They put the dog in this care center where they can look at it wherever they are on the computer. Give me a break! Give me a break! Every morning I gotta see Abby. Oh, look at Abby and she, oh, look. I'm like, give me a break. I told you, I didn't hear you say that about Pat this morning. Oh, look at you! But no, it's a dog. But so they're back home and they're doing well. Okay, now next one. Yes.
Gene has been on our prayer list. He's my sister and her husband's friend.
Yes.
And he's been on there for a liver transplant.
Yes.
I got the call yesterday. He's going to San Francisco to get a liver transplant.
He got a liver, a matching liver, okay?
Yeah, it's going to be today. The procedure's today at 1.
Wow, very good.
And now we just have to pray to his body.
Okay. Yeah. Let's be in prayer at 1 that his body will receive the liver that they transplant in him. My goodness. It's just amazing what medicine can do today. It's amazing what it can't do. It's amazing what it can do. So we'll be in prayer for Gene. And having said that, Tisha's son-in-law, Leslie's brother-in-law, and Pat's... is in the hospital. Heart?
No. Digestive.
Digestive system, okay. So we need to be in prayer for Ron. He's supposed to come home today? Okay. Be in prayer for Ron. And I need a drum roll. Can we have a drum roll? I need a drum roll.
Yeah, we could do it.
Okay. Well... Okay, all right. All right, drum roll. Larry's back. Yay. Wow. She's back. She's smiling. So there you go. All right. Delayed.
Thank you all for your prayers and your food and everything. It was an interesting couple of weeks, but everything is fine.
Okay. They didn't find out what Brian was putting in your food or anything? Okay. They still don't know, though. And you're happy with that. You're happy to be well.
Yeah. If it never happens again, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh. Well, we're glad to have you back.
Thanks.
Glad everything went okay. My goodness. And let's see. Tyson, do you need to get that right now? Okay, how's Bill? Status quo. Okay. Very good. Okay. Yes.
We have prayer of thanksgiving because we have another new grandbaby. He was born Thursday night and weighed 8 pounds and is 20 and a quarter inches long. Mm-hmm. And he went home and met his big sister yesterday. Mm-hmm. Of course, they took her to the hospital and she wanted to pet him. She said, "He's a tiny baby." Anyway,
prayer for you. Y'all got a lot of those coming along. Right? My goodness.
My name is Hayden Andrew Harper.
Hayden. Hayden, very good. All right. Any other prayer requests that I'm out? Yes.
Johnson family, we've been praying about.
Yes.
From Tucson, the father, Dan Johnson, passed away.
Oh, wow. Now, we know he's a believer, right?
They were pretty sure that he was a believer.
It's a relief for him.
Yes. And he also would keep an eye on Ron, the brother-in-law, the fifth. And he's not doing well health-wise. Also, Don, Karen Fiance, still looking for God. So,
And they live in Tucson. Tucson jobs are hard to find. Okay. Let's see somebody. Yes.
I have two. One is for Nathan for encouragement.
Okay.
They're in some real intense training right now.
All right.
And the other one is for guidance for the officers that are over these men.
That are over him?
Yes.
Okay. In prayer. Nathan and the officers over him. I've never prayed for an officer over me. I've prayed concerning them, but I've never prayed for them. I will be in prayer. Absolutely. Any other prayer request? Yes. Okay, thank you. I would have gotten in trouble without mentioning that, so thank you very much. My daughter-in-law, who had a major surgery, and while recovering from that, got the swine flu, and it was diagnosed by a doctor that that's what she had, and she's doing better, but okay. Is she over the swine flu?
She's over the swine flu, but from all the coughing, she ended up in a hematoma where an incision was, so she's trying to recover from that. So.
Wow. And I'm sorry?
Kelly.
And my son-in-law, he's doing well. His mother said, "I don't care how sick you are, I need you to work, so you get up and get over there and get to work." So he had to get up and go to work. And but he's doing better, but need to be in prayer for both of them as they continue to. And we're just thankful that the grandchildren didn't get it, and from the parents. So that's that. Any other prayer requests, prayer issues? Okay. The Word of God declares. Yes. Okay, starting to school in October. Boy, you're a good mom. Man, I wish my mom would have let me start in October. Wow. We'll be in prayer for her teachers and and her, yes. Okay. All right, that's very good. Thank you. Did I see a hand over here? Okay. The Word of God declares, "Whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver." Gracious giver is defined as not only one who has accepted Christ as Savior by faith alone in Christ, but also knows how to be filled with the Spirit. Because anything done outside of the filling of the Spirit is null and void as far as having effectiveness in your life. So it is so important that if you're going to give, give in the power of your Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to come and worship, do it in the power of the Spirit. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time. And I would have added, it had been just as well to stay at home in bed, but I'm afraid some of you get up and go home and go to bed. So I won't say that. But if you're going to be here, might as well be here in the power of the Spirit. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to this facet of worship, giving is fundamental. It's a foundation block to Christianity. For God so loved the world that He gave. Giving has always been a great issue in the Christian family. There are those, Heavenly Father, who make it a law. You've got to give a tenth. You've got to give a specified amount. Others, Heavenly Father, have neglected it totally. Don't give anything. But Heavenly Father, the grace method of living the Christian life, if we're walking in the power of the Spirit, it's just another one of those things that we'll see happening in the power of your Spirit, and that's giving. The Holy Spirit will lead us to give. Not on a percentage amount, but on a love amount. Our love for you and our love for your Son. So, Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you will continue to use these offerings to use this humble assembly in so many different ways. In missions, the outreach of the teaching of the Word, fellowship right here in our own community. And, Father, we just thank you and we praise you. In Christ's name, amen. Turn it on. 2 things I want to draw to your attention. First of all, a prayer of thanksgiving and a prayer of praise. Romeo and Lila's son in the Philippines was first in his class in med school, and they're finally in their exams. So that's really good. All right. I like that. Wow. Is he going to come over here and give you and me free care? Okay. And the second one is our young people. While Dan and Pat were in town, Pat met with Lori and Terry. And this was on the winter leadership camp. And so... do we need to be doing anything about that at this point?
Praying.
Good. I like that. Now, are we praying for the kids? Are we praying for the adults?
No.
Everybody. All right. Okay.
We're focusing on the kids that were at the summer camp last year, 12 and up, that are really have said that they're interested in leadership, service, maybe mission work, maybe helping being a counselor with future camps. So the focus is on those children that have expressed the desire to kind of move forward in their spiritual journey and focus on service.
And where's that going to be?
It's going to be in Ardmore, Oklahoma, at Lake Murray, Camp Lake Murray.
Okay, very good. Let's be in prayer for that. And with that in mind, next Sunday, we're going to take up an offering for this...
No, the offering for next Sunday is for our fall worship rally, the VBS, that our teenagers are going to be doing for our younger kids.
Oh, okay, and that is...
November the 7th.
November the 7th?
Yeah, 9-2.
Here, okay. Right.
And there's flyers in the back. And there's an email sign up if anybody has friends or family members or neighbors. Sign them up and I'll email them over a flyer. Or I can email you a flyer and they have been emailed out before and just print it off and take it to the kids in the neighborhood or whatever. It's open, but we do need to have a head count.
Okay.
Who's coming.
Very good. And that'd be Saturday,
November 7th.
The 7th. And it'll start at
9 to 2.
9, and it'll be here, right here. 9 in the morning to 2. Okay. All right, very good. And then Sunday, y'all are going to do some kind of presentation here. Yeah. Now, are the kids from Oklahoma coming in, Tulsa? Southwood?
No.
Nope? Okay. All right. Very good. Okay.
What's
so,
the age?
4 to 12. We will re-email that out to everybody, so just know they'll be coming this week.
Okay. Very good. Well, that sounds good. So next Sunday, we'll take up an offering to help with the November the 7th and 8th, November the 7th. What are y'all calling it, B?
The Fall Worship Rally.
Fall Worship Rally. Fall Worship Rally. I got it. Fall Worship Rally. Okay. I got it. All right. So, congratulations, Romeo, to your son. And next Sunday, we'll take up an offering. And so, that takes care of the two that I forgot. Let's stand and sing 156. 156. Jesus paid it all. I know, turn it off. All together now.
Thank you.
This has nothing to do with the spiritual name, but last night I had a wonderful time. Judith and I went with Wes and Sharon to hear the Riders in the Sky. And they sing just Western music, no country. Don't ever say country and Western to a Western person. It's just Western music. And it was really, really beautiful, and just brought back some way back memories. And the lead singer, Ranger Doug, plays with Wes's father's guitar. And so that was just a real treat to hear him sing and have fun with just good Western music. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for our study. We are in the study of total depravity. And when we finish this part, we'll take up the solution to total depravity. But right now, we're trying to understand how that creature created in the image of God and made in the likeness of God could become totally depraved. How can that happen? Well, let's prepare ourselves for our study by a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, grasping the first three chapters of Genesis is a guide to help us in all areas of our life. We're so appreciative for the Scriptures, but Heavenly Father, we are equally appreciative for the work of the Holy Spirit. For without Him, we would not be able to understand and grasp the significance of each verse that's in the Bible. We pray that Your Spirit will lead us this morning as we study, that You'll open our eyes and our ears to things that You'd have us to see and hear in regard to the truth. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. We've taken two Roman numerals in our study of total depravity. Roman numeral 1, we saw that created, how man is created in the image of God. So, number 1, created in the image of God. And we saw what that meant. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then we've taken up Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 2, the effect of sin. The effect of sin. And here we took up the effect of sin in the prehistoric world. The effect of sin on angels. We didn't really develop that one except to note it. But we spent time on the effect of sin on the earth. How sin affects our surroundings. And what happened between verses 1 and 2? What happened between verses 1 and 2 in Genesis 1 is so important. In Genesis 1, God created, 1-1, God created the universe. He created the heavens and the earth. It's the original creation. Then something happened because in verse 2, it says, but the earth became. The earth became waste, empty, darkness, barren. Now, this describes what the effect of sin by the angels was on the earth. This describes us, these three words, waste, empty, and darkness, describes us as unbelievers. It's powerful. If you can see in verse 2, the description of mankind, not just the description of the earth, but the description of mankind. And not only that, it's also a description, those three words, description of us as believers when we sin. When we sin, we become waste, empty, and in darkness. And we need to be saved as unbelievers. We need to be saved as believers. And that's where Lewis Berry Chafer's book, Chapter 7, became so powerful to me. We have to understand our restoration from sin as just as much a salvation as from the penalty of sin when we were unbelievers. And if you understand that it is a salvation that can only be from God, you understand then that it has to be by grace through faith. It's the only way it'll work. So those three words describe us as unbelievers, but it describes us as believers when we're in sin. But in context, it describes the earth affected by sin of the angels. Then now we take up Roman numeral 3. This morning we start Roman numeral 3. And Roman numeral 3, total depravity of man. Total depravity of man. Now we get into our study. Now the reason we took up man created in the image of God, this is why it's so difficult for a lot of people to understand how man could be totally depraved, created in the image of God. So I wanted to start with that. Then point two, I wanted to start, take a look at the effect of sin on the earth, effect of sin on the angels. And then we can grasp what starts. If you have no problem with Genesis 1-2, you should have no problem with our study now on the total depravity of man. But our question is, how can a creature created in the image of God be changed and become totally depraved? How sin changed that which was in the image of God into total depravity? So this is what we're looking at. And we want to start out looking at Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Genesis 2:17. But now this verse declares what the result will be if Adam and Eve eat of the tree. There's a tree that they are forbidden to eat of. So we have in the garden the volition of man, to the ability to make a choice to eat of this tree or not eat of this tree. So we find this going on right at the very, very beginning. And since they do eat of the tree, we have the beginning of total depravity. Okay, verse 17, Genesis chapter 2. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Okay, we're not going to go through the whole thing between Satan and Eve, but he changed up what God had said, and he said that the reason God doesn't want you to eat of this tree is that you'll be like him. And he doesn't want you to do that. So Eve wants to be like God. It's the very nature of all of us. Want to be like God. Want to take control of everything. So I can be like God. Every time we're in sin, we want to be like God. I can handle this better than you, God. I can handle my life better than you. I can handle my thoughts about someone else better than you. I can handle my tongue and what I say about someone else better than you. I can handle this situation better than you by my overt action. So we all have this little desire to be like God. So here we have the tree that they are not to eat from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, let's take a look at trees. Very brief introduction into trees. Note verse 9. Note verse 9 in chapter 2. And you have, in verse 9, you have two trees mentioned. Two trees mentioned in verse 9. Now let me see if I can... sure can. And a pleasing sight, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we have two trees that are of issue in the garden. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So let's look at these two trees. Tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So these are the two trees that are at issue. Now, we're not going to spend a long time in looking at this, but let's just take a quick look. The tree of life. The tree of life. The tree of life, this is God's tree. This is God's tree. The tree of life is a picture of the cross. It gives life. When one eats, last Sunday we took communion. When we eat and we drink, it's a picture of faith. There's no merit to eating or drinking. So eating is a picture of faith. Eating of the tree of the life is a picture of faith in Jesus Christ. Then we have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This gives the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I want you to think with me. This tree gives knowledge of good and evil. And kills. What gives knowledge of good and evil and kills? What? The law. The law gives knowledge of good and evil. It's what we're studying in Romans. The law gives knowledge of good and evil and kills. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is equivalent to the law. And what does the law do? It reveals sin and kills. Now, there's a third tree. Not mentioned in our study, but whenever I do the trees, you got to keep all three trees in perspective. There's a third tree. It's called the fig tree. These are three trees that are issue in the garden. The fig tree. Now, the fig tree... All right, let's take a look. The tree of life is God's tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this is Satan's tree. And the fig tree, this is man's tree. This is man's tree. Man, when he sinned, ran to the tree of the fig tree instead of going straight to the tree of life. They passed around the tree of life, went around, here's the tree of life right here. And so here's the tree of life. They go around it, and they go, that's a beautiful tree. That's a great tree. A little abstract, but nevertheless. All right, they went over here to the fig tree. Okay, you don't like my trees, I'll just do that. They went to the fig tree. And what did they do with the fig tree? They took the leaves from the fig tree, put them on themselves, and said, okay, we're ready to be presented before God. This is the tree of works. What man offers God. The fig tree is the tree of works. And people, these three trees play all the way through Scripture. You just get a lexicon. Look up the fig tree. Tree of works. Christ. Walking. Comes up to a fig tree. Curses the fig tree. Now people, that's pretty, you know, hypersensitive. Didn't find any figs on it. So he cursed it. And they walked by the next morning and it was dead. Come on, God. Come on, Lord. What you going to do that? Okay, why did he do that? Because this was man's tree. This was man's works. And it's cursed. We can offer nothing to God. The fig tree is what we offer God. Here, God, I give you my best. Save me. I give you my best. Restore me. I give you my best. Bless me. I give you a tithe. Bless me. I give you this. Bless me. So the fig tree represents the works of man. So we have three trees in the garden. The tree of life, God's tree, gives life. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, that's Satan's tree, it kills. Then we have the fig tree, that's man's tree, that's man's works offered to God. So, excuse me, so we have these three trees. The fig tree, man's tree, working for God, doing for God. Now, two of these trees are at issue in our study. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, verse 17 now. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day you eat from it, you shall surely die. Now there's just so much in verse 17. We could spend a long time on verse 17, but we'll try to confine our study to what we're looking at in total depravity. We have the knowledge of good and evil, and now we have something new. Look what we have new in the garden. Can you see it? Death. Adam and Eve don't know anything about that. There's not been anything died. So we have something new going on here. So, and it's going to be caused by sin. Okay, you shall eat. People, there's the blessing of God. This is blessing. He's given so much in the garden to eat from. He's just given, there is a bluebell ice cream tree, there is a lemon pie tree, there's a chocolate chip cookie tree. It's all these wonderful trees in the garden. All these trees. One you can't eat from. But first of all, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. So it's most interesting that the first sin of man is related to eating. That'll be a warning for a lot of us. The first sin by man is in the realm of eating. Not sex, eating. And you'll recall that in communion, eating is a picture of faith. It's not meritorious. But now let's take a look at eating and sin. Eating is an excellent picture or symbol of faith. Eating is an excellent symbol of sin. When you sin, you put inside of you a poison that kills. Therefore, when you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you put into yourselves that which will kill, is the picture that's going on at this point. Now, when they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they put into their bodies that which will kill them. It's a perfect picture of sin in our own lives. Now let's look at the phrase that we want to spend a few moments on here. It says, you shall surely die. Now this is something totally new to Adam and Eve. Death. They're not familiar with that. Okay, you shall surely die. Now, the Hebrew structure is very important here. The Hebrew word, and I'll transliterate it for you, muth, M-U-T-H, is the word to die. Okay, now this word is used twice, one right after the other. So, this is what we have happening. We have, as it were, die, die. Only because of their structure, we translate it a little different. So, we have to deal with the verb being used twice, one right after the other. But also, what does it refer to? Obviously, you shall die. The day you eat, you shall die. Doesn't refer to physical death. Because they didn't die physically when they ate. They kept right on living, and they kept right on living after they were kicked out of the garden. So it doesn't refer to physical death. Now, first of all, let's deal with the translation. The translators translate this with an emphatic, you shall surely, making it emphatic, you shall surely die. What we have is a cal infinitive. Now, don't do that to impress you, but just to let you know what we're dealing with here. We have a cal infinitive absolute of the verb muth, followed by a cal imperfect. Now, this is very strong in the Hebrew. That's why they translated it, surely die. But let's take a look at, first of all, the cal infinitive. Cal infinitive, we're going to translate that. And not surely, but we're going to translate this dying. dying. And then we have the Kal Imperfect. And the Kal is a simple stem in the Hebrew. Kal Imperfect. I enjoyed Hebrew when I took it in seminary much more than I did Greek. I just enjoyed it. I don't know, maybe I have a backward mind. They read backwards. But it has a multitude of verb stems and all kinds of fun stuff. But the Kal is the simple dying. And we're going to translate this, you, this Kal Imperfect, you shall die. So our translation, if we translate the verb that is used twice, we will translate it, dying, you shall die. So that's the way we're going to translate this, dying, you shall die. Okay, we've got to find out what's going on here, but this is the translation. Dying, you shall die. This is a declaration of the impact of disobeying God. It's an impact of sin. It's the effect of sin. And we're getting close to understanding total depravity. Total depravity is death. So, dying, you shall die. And what we have going on here is a picture of the effect of sin of eating of this tree. Now, again, sin is like a poison that rips through our system and kills. We saw how sin brought about death in the first universe. First fallen angels, second the earth. Became void, formless, barren, dark. As it were, the earth died. No sun, no life. It died. It's the effect of sin on the earth. That's why I took your time to look at Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. So that you'd see the effect of sin. How horrible sin is. It caused the whole earth to be affected. Sin brings death, whereby we all enter into the realm of death. Now we've got to find out what death, but nevertheless it's death. In anticipation, every time as we as born again believers sin, this is what happens, people. Even as believers, you don't lose your salvation, but every time we sin, maybe a simple mental attitude sin, anger, jealousy, pride, arrogance. It may be a sin of the tongue. You dirty rat. And now you know it's not a sin to cause a dirty rat. It's the mind that goes with it. But people don't usually stop with just you dirty rat. But anyway, so it's what's going on up here. Sin. What happens the moment we think sin, anger, jealousy? What happens? You're dead. You're void. You're waste. You're dark. You got to understand this. It doesn't matter how simple. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be some horrible sin like fornication or adultery. People, all you have to do is think one little sin. Anger at the way somebody drives in front of you. Boom, you're dead. Now, are you dead? No. You're still driving. You're still angry. You're still going on down the road. But spiritually, you're dead. You're in darkness. You're in darkness. Just by the attitude, sin of the tongue, and then an overt sin where you pull them over and beat them up. So, any of these things go on. You got those three categories of sin. Your mind, the tongue, and the whole body. Some kind of overt sin. People, you're in sin. You're dead. You're void. You're barren. You're a wasteland. Darkness covers. So this describes all of us. So this is what happens. But here in context, the verb to die, repented. Dying, you shall die. All right, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, so the day that you eat from it, dying, you shall die. That's the correct translation of the Hebrew. So that's the way we're going to deal with it. From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. Now, people, I'm sure that this tree was as beautiful as any other tree. I'm sure its fruit was just as beautiful and desirable by the eye, and maybe even the nose, but it was as desirable as any other tree. I'm sure it wasn't a cactus. I'm sure it wasn't just some old barren thorny bush there. I'm sure this tree was very, very beautiful and seeming desirable. And so this is what's going on. So the flow is eat, poison in your body, you die. It's a perfect picture of sin. We have so much to learn about sin that we may not have considered and given sin in our life this ability over us. But it causes us to be dead spiritually when we sin. Okay, let's note a few things. Point one. What is being talked about here? There are some six deaths in the Bible. The one involved here is spiritual death. Spiritual death. My ordination. The question was asked, name the six deaths in the Bible, and the two people in front of me, before me, they got one or two each, and so it came my turn, I finished them up, and then I said, and the one that I fear most, sexual death. So that's also a death. That was probably funny, anyway. this one is not sexual death, this is spiritual death. Now, sexual death occurs after a certain age. Abraham and Sarah were both sexually dead and then made alive when they were both, I guess Sarah was just under 100, Abraham was about 100, and God had promised them a offspring, and that's when Sarah laughed and, you know, this is no way this is going to happen. I'm too old to have a child. This is one of those blessings not too many women over 60 or 70 want to have. But it was a blessing to Sarah, Isaac was born. So, okay, let's take a look. This is spiritual death. Now, just very simply, without going to a whole another couple of hours on spiritual death, what is spiritual death? Spiritual death means no relationship with God, the inability of fellowship with God. You're dead spiritually. So you can have no fellowship with God. People, this is what happens when we sin. We're barren. We're in darkness. No ability of having fellowship with God. You'll recall that man is created in the image of God and made in the likeness of God for one main reason, that he could have fellowship with God. Spiritually alive activates our souls and personalities to fellowship with God. But when we're spiritually dead, we cannot have fellowship with God. This is going to be one of the things that comes about with total depravity. The inability of fellowship with God. This is what sin does. Sin renders man incapable of fellowship with God. It's the beginning of total depravity. Okay, let's get some confirmation on this. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, 1. And you, now he is addressing born-again believers who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. And you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Dead. Go back to Genesis 2:17. Dying, you shall die. This is how we were when we were unbelievers. This is our state of existence. This is our position. We are dead. Dying, you shall die. Ephesians 2:1. You were, when you were in the old man, when you were before you were a believer, dead in your trespasses and sins. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5:12. It's so embarrassing. John Hintz and I started Romans about the same time. He started maybe a couple of months before I did. He's all right. We're up there, chapter 7 or 8. We're in chapter 3. Dan Hill's going to start teaching Romans. He's going to pass me up. I know he's going to pass me up. And that's embarrassing, people. Yes. No, I'm not. Oh, they're not. Oh, okay. It's just going to be embarrassing. And he calls us, "Well, I'm already in chapter 5. Where are you?" "Well, I'm chapter 4, verse 1. All right. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Therefore, just as though through one man," that's Adam, "just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world." Now, this is interesting wording. Not just sin entered mankind, but sin entered the world. And the world's going to be affected by sin. We read it last week, but we'll see it more as we go through our study. So the world is going to be affected by sin. Both man and the world are affected by the sin of mankind in the garden. So this is very interesting wording. We always want to pay attention to how things are worded in the scriptures. "Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world." The world's going to be affected. Man is going to be affected. And then it says, "as a result of sin, and death through sin." Okay, what's this death? This death is this death that we're reading in Genesis 2. "Dying, you shall die." As a result of sin, death came into existence. Death is a result of sin. Where sin enters, death results. Sin enters, death results. People, again, I just want to remind you, this is not only true of Adam and Eve. This is not only true of all mankind. This is not only true of each of us when we were unbelievers. This is what happens to us when we as believers sin. Now, we do not lose our salvation, but we sin. Yes, I am. Okay, what he's talking about is mankind's history. He's not talking about the spiritual warfare. And so you had that in the prehistoric world with Adam. Then we're dealing with man's history. Where did it come in? Came in Genesis 1. Genesis 2, actually, where we're studying. Does that help, Martha? Okay, that's the effect of sin to the angels and the effect of sin on earth. Then what God did, after the earth became void and formless and all, the Spirit of the Lord, and he put a freeze over it, the Spirit of the Lord hovered over it, and all the ice melted, the waters came up, and they got two rings of waters up above, sweet water and a bit of water, and the earth. Then he restored the earth, Genesis 2, 3 and following, Genesis 1, verse 2 and following, is the restoration of the earth. So it's all nice and perfect and all. Then man sinned, and that's going to affect the earth again. Okay? The reason I went to the first is to give us the pattern. How the pattern flows from the way it affected the earth because of angel sin, and what happens when we sin. That's why I did the verses 1 and 2 of Genesis. Okay? Alright. So, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. As a result of sin, death. Death is a result of sin. And so death spread to all men. Okay? It's passed down. It's passed down from generation to generation. The woman is the carrier. The man is the one who passes this on. He passes on the sin nature. He passes on this part of our being. And so death spread to all mankind, all men. All members of the human race are born into the world spiritually dead. I don't recommend when you over at the hospital or home and the mother and father looking at a new little born baby and they're all happy, I wouldn't walk in and say, "Look, it's dead." That won't go over too well. that won't make you very popular. But so we just have to be careful not to bring our theology in at a happy moment like that. Okay, so death spread to all men, all members of the human race born into the world spiritually dead, because all sinned. Death. And this is going to be the study of total depravity. There is nothing we can do. We're born dead, born into sin, born dead in result of sin. Nothing we can do about it. We cannot repent. We cannot confess. We cannot be sorrow. No promises. We can't baptize our babies 100 times. We can't do anything like this. We're born under total depravity. This is what we're born in. Okay? Let's look at Romans 6. Romans 6. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Total depravity. The wages means wages, reward. Another picture of looking at the effect of sin, of eating. They ate of the tree and they died. So here the wages is another way of looking at eating. And it's just another way of looking at the result. Here's what you get paid back. So the wages are the result, the effect of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. I asked one of the men where they came up with the concept free grace, because to me that's repetitious. Grace is free. But you see, and this is very good. That isn't the way a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people define grace. Well, you do something for God, and God will do something for you, and that's grace. No, that's not grace. That's not grace at all. So I like that. But they call it free grace. Okay? All right, but the free gift of God is eternal life instead of death. The day you eat, dying, you shall die. But the day that you believe in Jesus Christ, eat from the tree of life, you live. In Christ is eternal life. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Free gift, grace. Where you are under total depravity, recovering from a recovery must be what? Must be a free gift. There's nothing you can do. When you're dead, there's nothing you can do. It's got to be a free gift. And we study total depravity inside an increased appreciation of God's grace, and I hope it does. Once we really realize what we're like, the moment we believe in Jesus Christ, when we realize what we're like, that God became man and died on a cross and rose again, how important that is to us. And how we can do nothing. There is nothing. Go to church, give money, pray, cry, ask for forgiveness, on and on and on. There's nothing that a depraved person can do. We're dead. We are dead. This is what total depravity does. So God's grace is going to solve the problem of total depravity. But I want to build this in its proper order. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, we've just gone through a couple of passages here. We've gone through Ephesians 2:1, Romans 5:12, Romans 6:23. Like that. I mean, we're rolling. This is good stuff. Wednesday night, we are studying the upper room discourse at the end of chapter 14. Christ said, let's leave, let's go from here. And what I want to do this Wednesday night is I wanted to read the communion, the upper room discourse in the other three Gospels. And like in Matthew, it's just 10 verses. It's very interesting. The other three do not talk about the dissertations, the upper room discourse. John has chapter 13, chapter 14. They don't even mention it, the upper room discourse. What they deal with primarily is the communion service, the last Passover and the first communion. John, who spends 2 chapters on it, doesn't even mention it. Doesn't even mention the communion service. the last Passover and the first communion. And so I'm going through Matthew, and in Matthew chapter 26, it's just 10 verses, people. 10 simple verses. And all I did, I put the whole thing on my computer, and I was just going to make a few notes. Get it. I don't know how I'm going to do that. This is so, just in just reading it, not even dealing with the words and all that, it's just, it's powerful. But anyway, I drift here. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam, all die. That goes back to our study. Dying, you shall die. We're dead. In Adam, all die. Ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, poison killed him. The day you eat, dying, you shall die. And he passed on this death to everyone. The man passes on this death. So the cure to total depravity is going to be life. And then so he says, so also in Christ, see, this is the second Adam, Christ is the second Adam, all shall be made alive. Life. So faith brings about life. That's like eating of the tree of life. Life comes. So you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, pow, you die. Eat of the tree of life, pow, life comes in. But Adam and Eve, first of all, went around the tree of life, ran over to the fig tree, and then offered God their works. Okay? So now let's go back to Genesis 2:17. Those few passages give us a rough idea of what we're dealing with. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. Now just remember, got all these trees in the garden. They could just go around and eat of all these trees. And there's this one tree. This one you don't eat. Oh, yeah. Don't. That's all you have to do. Don't. And the kid's going to watch you when you turn away. Boom. Going to do it. Sometimes they don't even watch for you to go away. They just do it. But that's the nature of man. It's the nature of man. So don't eat of the tree. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. Now, we're not told how it's designated. Maybe he pointed it out. I don't know. We're not told that. But they knew this tree you don't eat from. Okay. You shall not eat. For in the day, in that time period that you eat from it, dying, you shall die. Spiritual death means no relationship with God, inability of fellowship with God. Now, what I've got to do is take out some 8 points of summary, and there's no way I'm going to get this done, and if we come back next Sunday, I'll just repeat it. So, just hold off 1 week, and we'll cover the summary of what we did this morning. So, please kind of go over your notes before you come to class next Sunday, and we will just go right into the summary of what we've studied in regard to this aspect of total depravity. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we would not know about the future if it were not for this book. We would not know what's going to happen to us when we die if it were not for this book. We would not know what's going to happen to earth if it's not for this book. And we'd probably be like so many people that don't know this book and just speculate on how we're going to destroy the earth and all these things. But you've told us. You've given us privy. But Heavenly Father, it's our nature, and you gave it to us in our makeup, Where'd I come from? What's this all about? And you've given us privy to that. You've told us these things and you made it clear to us. What an awesome God you are. Father, not only do we thank you for what we've learned this morning, but we praise you for the God that you are, that you care enough and you're so benevolent to our makeup where they're going to want to know these things. So I'll tell them. That's grace. That's a loving Father. Father, we do praise you for this information. Pray you'll take this now. Let it lay a foundation in our soul that will grow in our lives, Father. We'll understand our makeup when we're not walking by faith in the Spirit. We'll understand each other instead of anger. There will be a sense of helping them to recover. Father, we pray you'll take these things now. Nourish us with this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.